The wave felt an acceptance from them that they had never felt before, an acceptance for who they were and not what they could or couldn't do.
Welcome to Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith, where I use nature's landscapes as metaphors for your life, helping you to get back on track when you're stuck and don't know what to do. Whether that's when you're lost, lacking in focus, motivation or confidence, or feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Send the situation you're grappling with on a coffee break as you explore one of nature's landscapes to gain insight and a different perspective you can apply to the situation later.
Today's episode looks at those times when you're feeling disappointed with the progress you're making. You may even feel like giving up because it just feels like all the effort is getting you nowhere. To do this, I'll be sharing two poems and a short story I've written on the subject to help you see the situation from a different perspective and for you to identify potential action steps. To make more sense of what I talk about, it's useful to have a situation you'd like more insight on. Perhaps you resonate with feeling disappointed or just don't know what to do about a situation and would like a different perspective. I'd wholeheartedly recommend, therefore, you take a little time to be clear about the situation you're wanting a different perspective about before listening to the rest of the podcast. You can then apply the questions I asked to that situation or problem. Today's recording was made with the Forth Rail Bridge and Firth of Forth behind me in Fife, Scotland. I wrote today's poem at a time when I was being very impatient with what was happening. It felt like I was on that treadmill, possibly even going around in circles, but it felt like there was a fruitlessness to my endeavours, that I wasn't ever getting where I wanted to be, that the more I moved forward, the more there was to do. So have a listen to Chasing the Tide and then let's explore that together. Chasing the tide. Never ahead, always behind. Every move forward I take, the tide moves forward too. I run, it runs, never bridging the gap between where I am and where I want to be. The tide always ahead in the distance. A vision of where I want to be. A promise of what may be, and yet never getting there, never arriving, fruitless effort of never-ending disappointment. In my seeming separateness, I fail to remember. I am the water. I am part of the tide. My tide will arrive, not one tide arriving together, separate waves arriving exactly on cue. No late, no missing out. Perfect timing. My arrival after one wave and before another. Always on time. Never ahead, never behind. I am the tide. The first part of the poem is describing how I was feeling, really. Never ahead, always behind. As if every time I move forward, where I wanted to be, move forward. So I was never bridging the gap between where I was and where I wanted to be. And it really felt like the fruitless, as I say, fruitless effort of never-ending disappointment, because I'd set myself up to fail, and I'd set myself up to fail because I'd made progress about the things out there, the doing, I suppose, the constant to-do list. Whereas the solution comes in the second part of the poem. My seeming separateness, I fail to remember I am the water. If I am the water, then the wave, the tide, is all of my doing. And that I'm a wave as part of somebody else's wave. I'm not the tide, I'm a wave, and I have my own moment. So it's trusting that you're doing everything that you need to do to achieve your goal. So it's being clear about your goal, I suppose. Writing down never fails to amaze me how infrequently people don't write a list of what they need to do in order to achieve their goal. But what this poem was about was saying it was all about the doing. It was all about the constant doing, the hamster wheel, if you will. And what it's inviting us to do, and perhaps it's exactly what the poem last week was about grounding to me, was get in touch with our own inner being, our own inner wisdom, and calming down. That whatever time scale we've put on ourselves, whatever constraints there are self-imposed, or they're being imposed by others, but perhaps it's about us going, in this moment, if I'm my wave, when is the moment for this wave? And what do I have to do? And as sometimes happens with these poems, I think I need to read you the second poem in order for the two to come together. So let's listen to the catching the next wave and see what that adds to this conversation. Catching the next wave. It's not about waiting nor patience. It's about putting ourselves out there where the waves are, watching the weather forecast for the conditions that generate those waves. Not just any wave, certainly not just the next wave that we encounter, but that wave with the promise of joy, a joy that brings us into this moment, a joy that expands our thinking and possibilities of what could be. When will you catch the next wave? And where do you need to be to make that a possibility? So what this does is add to the first poem about we are the wave, we are the water, we're not having things done to us, we're doing the doing. But the second poem then invites us to think about how are we hiding in the water, I suppose? How are we hiding behind the other waves? How are we out there in the deep water, not coming forward? And I've written a story, which I will read you. So when I get home, I'll get the story out and record the story about the wave, because that feels a bit about like that. This second poem talks about the reticence, I think, for me. It's not about waiting or patience, it's putting ourselves out there where the waves are, doing the weather forecast and going, oh, you know what? The waves are going to be great there. So if we want to, I don't know, get fitter, we need to put ourselves out there and get outside and move our body or go to the gym or join a class or do something that puts us out there rather than sitting on the sofa and saying, I want to get fitter. But it's also, interestingly, about where it also says it's not, certainly not just the next wave we encounter, but the wave with the promise of joy. I think that's where the first point kicks in terms of if we are the water, what is that wave that gives us joy? What is that, our why? Just recently written some posts on LinkedIn about our values, about connecting in with the why. What motivates us? What gives us joy? Because if we don't know what gives us joy, we can run around chasing all sorts of things. You know, somebody will say, oh, this works for me about fitness. And you try that and you go, oh, that doesn't work. Until you realise that being out in nature is what really works for you. And therefore, any fitness exercise or any exercise or any movement outside is what gives you joy. Whereas what you've been doing is following other people's waves and going to the gym or going to those dance classes and hating it and putting up with it for 6 weeks and then giving up because you've never quite found that, the joy. But how is that replicable in lots of things we do, that we get onto the hamster wheel, we do that chasing the tide and feel as if we're fruitless effort of never-ending disappointment. But when we take the story that you'll hear at the end of the podcast, if you take these two poems together, the disappointment comes in not being our own wave, but also being that wave, not staying out in the ocean and going, I don't want to be a wave. You are a wave. grab your wave, stand up for your wave. When the conditions are right, start, I don't know, I'm going to mix some metaphors now because I've never surfed, but they just feel as if when that tide, when that wave is coming, you have to start taking action, because the wave isn't just going to pick you up, it picks you up once you're taking the action. That you're paddling very, from what I see, people need to paddle quite ferociously in order to be able to sort of catch up with the wave and let it take them. And that's what all of these poems and the story that you hear shortly are about. They're inviting you to stand in your own power, to anchor, understand your why, your purpose, understand what motivates you, but then to take action towards that motivation. It isn't about sitting there. It is about just putting ourselves out there where the waves are. And the question that the two questions at the end of that second poem, when will you catch the next wave? And where do you need to be to make that a possibility? So where, what locations, what social media sites, what people do you need to be bumping into that would make your goal a reality? I'll finish the podcast with the wave story, and I'll leave you to consider what elements of either the story or the poems are talking to you today, inviting you to see the current situation that you're grappling with from a different perspective. But what I will do in the show notes is put a link to the story, the poems, but also I mentioned about values. So I'll link to a post I've written about helping you identify what your values are to help you find what motivates you as well. The wave. They were a wave, and they were a very lonely wave. The wave had travelled the globe in search of something more than the life they had. Surely there must be more to life than rising and falling and being dictated to by the bright glowing circle in the sky. The wave tried to ask other waves if they felt the same, but they never stayed around for long enough to give an answer. From watching them, the wave thought the other waves looked satisfied enough. The sounds they made when the wind whipped against the cliffs in far-flung places certainly sound like enjoyment. Although the wave did wonder about that, as they'd never had the courage to actually have a go themselves. Instead, they chose to hang back and watch as other waves moved forward and took the momentum. The wave tried to change their shape, like some other waves, so that they may take the surfers into their very centre. And yet, the wave hung back, scared of hurting them. They also tried to do that thing with the air to make their very edges all white and foamy. But the wave withdrew, fearing they'd not be able to go back to how they were. The wave also envied those waves who had the confidence to carry large ships towards their destination in their wake. It was on one such day when the wave really had enough. They really were useless and couldn't do anything all the other waves could. Either they didn't have the courage and the experience or the expertise. They also didn't have any wave to ask questions and share it all with. It was in this heavy and depressing mood that they felt themselves dragged down, dragged deeper than they'd ever been before. Deeper, darker, colder. If they had felt fear in the past, it was nothing to with how they felt now. Down and down they went. Deeper, darker, colder. Their thoughts slowed right down, as if time itself had started to move into slow motion. Deeper, darker, colder, until the wave finally came to a stop. The wave couldn't see anything, they couldn't feel anything, and they were struggling to think anything. They realised they were very tense and tried very hard to relax and allow some space between every fibre of their being. As the wave did this, they realised that they felt a little better. So for the next few, well, they don't really know what they were. They could have been seconds, minutes, hours, days, or even weeks. So all they can say is that as time passed, the wave felt lighter. They practiced very hard allowing space in between every fibre of their being. They couldn't do it all at once. They had to pick some part of them and concentrate very hard on that part and just breathe and allow space inside. It was as if part by part, the wave was getting lighter and brighter. And was it their imagination, or were they feeling a little warmer too? What the wave found, however, was as soon as they started to wonder about what was happening, how it was happening, and tried to make it go quicker, they started to feel the cold. They started to emanate less light. Each time they then had to take a breath and start all over again, slowly working their way around every part of them. Over time, the wave was able to hold on to its lighter and brighter state for longer. They found they didn't have to concentrate quite so hard and could still manage to maintain this lighter and brighter state. And finally, the wave managed to be the lighter and brighter state. It was as if they had changed. It was as if they were no longer the wave trying to be brighter, trying to be lighter. They were simply a bright and light wave. The wave puzzled over this for some time. They felt like they were still themselves, but they somehow knew they were different. The added brightness and added lightness had in some way changed them. Of course, what the wave had failed to notice was that once they were this different state, they had also started to rise, until finally they neared the surface and noticed their own lightness reflected in the water around them. They came to the surface and took a deep breath and allowed the rays of the sun to warm them. They looked around them and could see many waves, all with the same lightness and same brightness as them. The wave felt an acceptance from them that they had never felt before, an acceptance for who they were and not what they could or couldn't do. The wave stayed with the other waves for many moons. They did many things they'd never tried before. The wave especially enjoyed the rushing into caves and being dragged back out with the momentum of all around them. They even had time to perfect the tender holding of surfers as they danced within their very core. After one particularly exciting day, they started to feel different, started to feel even brighter and even lighter. It was as if even the binds that were holding every part of them together were being pulled gently apart. Having been in the deep, dark and cold place before, they didn't consider this scary and even felt some excitement about what was happening. And so they simply allowed the transformation to take place until it was as if the wave was everything and everywhere and all at the same time. There was certainly more ease, even more light, and bright just wasn't the word for it. The wave just was, and realised that they had always been all that there is. Love.
If you've enjoyed today's episode of Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith, do please remember to follow the podcast so you're notified about future episodes. Leaving a review would also be very much appreciated. So too, telling family and friends if you think it would also be helpful for them. You'll find more about the Landscaping Your Life process in my book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, Landscaping Your Life to Get Back on Track, available from all online book stockists, and by searching Landscaping Your Life on YouTube, Facebook and LinkedIn. Wishing you every success in using nature to landscape your life.